Hello, everybody. Welcome again. This is Roger Bauer, the Search Engine Ninja. And I'm joined again by my good friend Jennifer Horowitz. And this is round two of our interview session where we're going to talk about all things SEO. And we've got a few questions we didn't get to last week that we will jump into. And we're also going to talk about some search engine optimization myths, because there are a metric ton of them sitting out there, so we should not be short for content, as is usually the case with us. Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You sprung on me that you just returned from Cancun, so I've got to admit that I'm extremely jealous.
Yeah, it was fabulous. It was actually a Christmas gift from my husband, so we just had a little long weekend getaway, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I bet. Wow.
Yeah.
In the middle
yeah.
of winter, that's always good.
It is, although I live in Southern California, so.
You got it good either way, yeah.
I do. And you know, normally I'm not a big drinker, but of course in Mexico I had to have my share of margaritas. So I said to my husband, as long as I'm sober for my interview on Tuesday, if I can sober up by then, I'm good.
Hell yeah, there you go. All right, so this first question, you may want to avoid it, but I'll ask it anyway. Let's see, where did that sucker go? All right. Amber from Wichita, Kansas, asks, of the well-known SEOs, who are you not likely to pay attention to?
You know, that is a really good question. And the truth is, I don't know that there's anybody that I would blatantly ignore. Now, there are a lot of different ways that you can do SEO, and you can line up a whole bunch of SEO people, and you're going to agree sometimes and disagree other times. But even if they disagree, a lot of times I still think there's merit and validity and logic behind what they're saying. It's just not the way I would approach it. In my possibly luck and experience, I haven't encountered that many people that are well-known that I would say they're just completely off their rocker and you shouldn't listen to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I might not agree, but I don't feel strongly enough to publicly badmouth. Now, I know there are a lot of bad companies out there. I just have been lucky enough not to encounter them. So I hope it doesn't seem like a cop-out. I really don't have an answer for that, just personally. I've been lucky.
Right. And I'm much the same way, and it may sound, and I'm not trying to sound egotistical with this or anything else, but when I came across the things that work, I've stuck to those, and I'll listen to what other people say and maybe augment what I'm already doing with some of their advice. But I would be very hesitant to drop my existing strategy and things that have proven to me that have worked over time to listen to some self-appointed SEO guru or some other person that everybody is making out to be some just godlike figure in the SEO community if it's against what has proven to work. So that would be my answer to the question.
Yeah,
well,
and I think that, you know, one thing that I would say, and this is not a particular company, but this is something if you hear somebody saying that you want to shy away from, and that is if somebody claims to have proprietary software, proprietary techniques, a special relationship with Google. We all develop strategies and skills and approaches to things, and it's okay to say, here's our philosophy and here's our approach. But there's nothing out there that Google makes the same information, you know, available to all of us. And sure, some people through trial and error learn different things and perfect systems, and that's okay, that's legit. But when they start throwing around words like proprietary and, you know, something that no other SEO out there ever knows, and we have a special relationship with Google, that's when you want to start getting worried, because in my experience, those are the snake oil type people.
Right, and that's something I was going to add to that as well, is I've gotten some letters in the mail, I've gotten some emails, and I've seen some people self-proclaiming that Google has endorsed them as an SEO company, and that's total hogwash, because that's, as you say, if they say they have a special relationship with Google, we don't own Google. None of us do, unless you're, you know, Sergey Brin or one of the people that founded Google. I mean, they're our stockholder. and chances are you don't have enough stock to really own enough of Google that they pay any attention to you. But if somebody comes to you and claims that, oh, we've got the inside track with Google, or, you know, I'm endorsed by Google, no. You might be a pay-per-click certified or something like that, but in terms of organic SEO, being endorsed by Google or Yahoo or MSN, I'd stay away from them as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the other thing, and this is by no means technical advice, it's go with your gut. When you're, mm-hmm. if you're evaluating working with somebody, if somebody's willing to sort of open the doors and let you peek inside, tell you what they do and why they do it, give you as many references as you want, you know, they're just sort of letting everything out in the open, and you feel good about that, then that's, you know, probably somebody that you're going to trust a little bit more than somebody who's trying to be very secretive. And, you know, one of the things I always complain about, I understand we all check references and we all like to check references, but nobody's going to give you a bad reference. Clearly any name and any results they've given you are going to be positive. And I don't want to encourage people to go too far and to go too crazy, but anybody can come up with 1, 2, 3 positive references, or at least most people can. See how many they're willing to give you. Say, could you give me 10 or 15? Now, realistically, you're probably not going to want to spend the time talking to 10 or 15 people, but see if they could, if they would be willing to, if they
right.
have a larger number of clients. That's something that I've found beneficial, and it always catches people off guard. They're like, seriously? You want 15 references? And just say, yeah, I really would, and
mm-hmm.
see what they say.
That's something I've added to the mix on that. Actually, two things is, one, I've cautioned people that because I do a lot of training, and that through the training, I have learned more about the SEO industry, my craft, my trade, so forth. And I encourage people, you know, ask if they'll show you, like you said, show you behind the curtain a little bit as to what they do. And I have no problem with somebody who signs up with me saying, here's the entire training course. If you want to go through it, if you want to give one of your employees access to it, that's fine. I'm not trying to hide anything, and, you know, I'm not trying to play smoke and mirrors with you. It's all above board. It's all open. It's a collaborative endeavor. But another thing that I tell people is, if you're working with an SEO firm, we've all had situations where we've made a mistake. I mean, if I haven't found anybody who's perfect yet. I mean, maybe that person exists. I don't know who it is, but ask them about their mistakes, and A, how did they remedy the mistake, B, what did they learn from it, and C, how are they going to prevent it from happening in your situation? And that's something that I freely talk about is, you know, I took a lady's site, and she was very stressful about getting a higher ranking in such a hurry, which was against my judgment, but she asked me to make some changes, which I had told her at the beginning, I'm not going to do any changes to your website. I will advise you on things I would do, but it's going to be up to your webmaster or your web designer to go in and make them. Well, she couldn't get a hold of the web designer, and she said, well, can you just go in there and make a few changes? And I was only changing one page, but Dreamweaver went out and updated some links and made a few of the pages invisible for a little while, and that wasn't a good thing, so... sticking now to my guns, to where I don't touch somebody's site, period, unless I design it. So that's one of the things. I'll freely admit I made the mistake, and I own it, and it's one of those things that hasn't happened again, and knock on wood, it's not going to happen again, as long as I stick to my guns and don't stray from the things that I do best. So not that I can't do web design, it's just that when you're in a hurry, that's when you make mistakes. So that's one of the big mistakes that I made and learned from. And I think we're all prone to making mistakes when we're under duress and everything else. Not to say it's okay, but it happens.
And
all
I
right.
think that's a really great question. That's a really valuable gem that you've just shared with people, because I don't think it's something that people often think of asking. And just seeing what somebody's reaction is. How was their initial response to that question, and do they seem forthcoming about the fact that they are in fact human and have in fact made errors, or do they clam up and try to gloss over with an act of perfection? And I think that's very telling about whether you can trust somebody or not. So everybody make note of that and use that in the future, not just when you're checking out SEO contractors, but when you're checking out contractors in other areas, copywriters, web designers, anything. I just think that's a valuable tip.
Yeah, and that's something that, I mean, I don't want to go on a big, long, hour-long talk about all the mistakes I've made, but if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying things, and that's true of anything. Like you say, Jennifer, if you're looking at a contractor for anything to come into your business, I mean, those people need to be trying things, and preferably on their own stuff. I mean, that's always where my test beds have always been, my own sites, so if something gets delisted or I carry something a little bit too far, it doesn't hurt a client's site. It doesn't inhibit them from making money. It's going to hurt me, and obviously I'm going to learn from a painful mistake like that if I do something to my own site and get it delisted or blackballed or, you know, thrown into the sandbox or whatever term you want to use. So that might be something else is, you know, what is your test bed? What do you use as your test bed? Some SEO companies have a hosting arrangement to where they just have websites that they test different little tips, tricks, and different ways to get a site ranked. And if one of them gets delisted or whatever, they learn from their mistake. So you want people that are trying things, but not necessarily trying things with your websites or your business. If they have a little test bed that they have set up, they should be able to tell you, hey, this is what I do. It might be with their own sites. That's cool, too, just as long as it doesn't impact your own business and things of that. Same thing, like you said, with contractors for anything. If you're going to have an email marketer come in and help you with follow-up sequences, you need to know the same things. You know, what mistakes have you made? What have you learned from them? And, you know, how are you going to make sure that doesn't happen to my business?
Definitely.
All right, so let's see. This is from Carrie in Phoenix, and I don't know if Carrie is a guy or a girl, so we'll just say, we'll just ask the question. If you've done 6 months of SEO for a site, and yet there haven't been any improvements, how would you go about diagnosing the problem? Wow, that's a good one.
You know, Carrie in Phoenix is actually quite smart because that is an intelligent question. And the reason I think it's an intelligent question is just the wording, go about diagnosing the problem. That implies an understanding that there's something going on that can be figured out and fixed versus the normal panic, oh, my God, what's going wrong? I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they don't think and they react. And sometimes it's just a little algorithm shift and a little shakeup and you need to let the dust settle. Other times it is symptomatic of a bigger issue. But that wording just really shows an understanding that that is a complex, multi-layered sort of thing. And you do sort of have to pick apart the layers and find out where the problem is. So what I would do is I would do a checklist, and this would be my checklist. I would, first and foremost, I would have the host scan to see if there's any malware or problems on the site. Also, you can check Google Webmaster Tools now and see if there's any malware in there. You want to check if the host, if it's on a shared IP address and if you could be penalized for something that's going on with another site, so you're going to want to check out that. You're going to want to make sure the load time of the site is quick. Now, we all know everybody freaked out about the load time thing, and it's not the end-all and be-all. It's just one factor that Google is now considering. But if your site is particularly slow in loading or particularly problematic to the point where Google can't crawl it and index it, that could be a problem. So it is worth checking on the load time. Then you want to look at the code. You want to make sure it's clean. You want to make sure there's no spam, no keyword stuffing, keyword hiding, not over or under optimized. Should be able to recognize a clear theme on the site related to keyword phrases, and those keyword phrases should be used well in the content and in the optimization. Again, not overdone or underdone. You want to check what's going on with links coming into the site. Do you have a bunch of links from link farms and some bad Lincoln stuff going on that might not even be your fault. Somebody could be sort of set up to sabotage you or something. You want to check how many pages are in the index and how often they're spidering your site and how many pages they're picking up. If they're spidering the site and actually picking up pages, they're just not delivering them in the SERPs, that's one thing. If they're not spidering the site regularly or they're spidering but they're not picking up pages, that's another thing. So you need to sort of diagnose what is the problem. You want to see where you stand in the other engines, particularly Bing and Yahoo, and see you know, if you're doing well there, look at why that might be. You want to consider duplicate content issues. I know there's been a lot of myths about duplicate content. Google will not penalize you for duplicate content. However, they won't reward you for it either. So in other words, if you have 200 pages on your site, but 195 of them are duplicate content, your site's really only going to look like a five-page site to Google because they're only going to look at the 5 pages that's unique. The other 195 aren't hurting you, but they're also not helping you. So you could think you have this massive site that you don't really have. So you want to look at that. You want to look at canonicalization issues. You want to see if it looks like it's presenting duplicate content through the, your URL structure. And then you want to just look at Google Webmaster Tools and see what else you can find that's in there that might give you some data. I think the main things are the load time, the malware, and how often are they spidering the site. But look at your XML sitemap, how many URLs have been submitted and how many have been picked up. And just kind of work your way through when you're looking at each of those things. Is something triggering a red flag to you? Is something looking like, oh, this isn't as optimized as I thought, or man, this is way more over-optimized than I thought, or oh, there is malware, oh, it's very slow to load. Then you start looking at what the problems are and fixing them. But I would definitely start with the host. I would start with, like I said, malware and are you being penalized for other sites that are sharing the IP address and load time?
Right. That's a million-dollar answer. If I had a little crowd noise to sprinkle in there, I would definitely do it because that is how to diagnose in a nutshell from A to Z almost. But I was going to add to the shared hosting in that I had a situation with one of my own sites that I took from one host to another, and the first host, it wasn't necessary. I wasn't moving it because of ranking issues, although I thought I should have been ranking a lot better for that particular site than I was. It was more or less a hunch, but also I wasn't happy with the host for some other things, so I swapped host, and about a month later, I started to move up the rankings on a consistent basis, so that host lesson or the host checking diagnosis process that you mentioned, Jennifer, is great because most people don't think of that. They don't even think, you know, oh, well, yeah, I'm, let's say, HostGator. I've got an account through HostGator and I've got 10 or 15 domains on there. Well, people aren't really thinking about, well, who else is on the same IP address or who else is sharing that same server with me? Because if, let's say there's a porn site on there, or there's a drug Cialis or something like that, or a shady neighborhood, a gambling site or something like that, they could be bringing down the entire group of sites with it. If Google determines, hey, this is a piece of junk site, we're going to shut all the sites down that are associated with this IP address or that are, you know, going to this particular server, whatever it may happen to be, and you might be pulling your hair out thinking, oh, my God, I've done everything according to, you know, white hat techniques and strategies and methods, and I just cannot seem to rank any better. Sometimes it might be as simple as switching host or going with a dedicated IP address or getting a dedicated server, whatever it may happen to be. But that is often one of the last things that people check when it might be the first thing to check, and that might save you a lot of headache down the road.
Definitely. You know, the other thing is there's a little bit of vagueness to the question. If you've done SEO for 6 months and there hasn't been any improvement, well, if you're position number 3 and you haven't improved to number 1 or 2, you know, hey, that might be your lot in life. You know, you might be stuck at number three, which
right.
I think most people would like. You know, if you're on page 300 and it hasn't been improved, okay, that's a different story.
Right.
And then the other thing is, are you not being found at all? So it also depends what level you're at and what you specifically mean by no improvement. The other thing I wanted to say was along the lines of if you're stuck in position number three and you might want to be number one, but you're in number three, I mean, that's a pretty radical example because a lot of people would be happy with number three. But, I don't know, let's say you're position 12, so you're just on the second page and you really want to be on the first page. You know, you have to remember that Google's algorithm is a mathematical formula. It's looking at all of these sites, and if you guys remember my gold star analogy, it's like Google's assigning you a gold star for everything that you do well. Somebody might just be beating you out. As hard as that is to hear and as great as you think your optimization is, if you haven't done competitor analysis, you don't know if they're beating you out. So another
right.
thing you want to do is competitor analysis, see who's ranking on top. Now, here's a tip that I share with people, and they often get pretty excited, and it's often easier to see visually, so I hope this doesn't confuse people. If you go to Google, so either the search box in Google or to your search box in your toolbar, and you type in site, S-I-T-E colon, so a lot of you are familiar with the site operator, and then no space, and then you put your website, and then you do put a space, and then you put a keyword. So for example, if I wanted to do site colon http colon slash slash www.cnn.com space Twilight, I wanted to know what pages were on CNN that were talking about the movie Twilight. So it would probably be about actors and anything that's newsworthy that happened. What that little search does is it tells you how many pages on that site are talking about that keyword phrase. And that's a handy little tool because you can go to your competitor and you can see, wow, they have 500 pages that are using their keyword phrase. And then you do it to yourself and you say, ooh, I have 5 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder they're outranking you.
Right.
So great tip to both check up on yourself and check up competitors. And I do want to repeat it just one more time so everyone gets the formula. It's S-I-T-E colon. And then the full URL with no space between that, then you do a space, and then you do the keyword, whether it's a single keyword or a keyword phrase. So, again, if I wanted to check my own site colon HTTP colon slash slash www.ecombuffet.com space SEO, and then that would tell me how many pages I have on my site that have the keyword phrase SEO on them. And that's a really cool little tip, like I said, to just check out what's going on and how much content other people have to put it in perspective. Because it's easy to look at your own site and say, oh, but I've worked so hard, I've optimized it so well, and that might be true. But when you put it up against your competitor who's ranking well, it still might not be quite enough.
Right. And that's something that I do. That's an excellent, excellent, excellent tip. I hope people take note of that if they don't do anything else out of our entire two-session interview, write that down, take action on it, and see what your competitors are doing, because that's the beautiful thing about SEO. You can spy on your competitors, and they won't even know it. You can borrow from things they've done. You can ethically steal some of their research, because if you see, like you just said, Jennifer, if they've got 500 pages for the movie Twilight, and you're trying to optimize for the movie Twilight, and you only have 5, well, guess what? They've just told you. Here's how you can get a better ranking. They're not broadcasting it, but if you do a little research, you can figure out how the heck did they get so high for this particular keyword phrase. Just open the keys to the vault right there with one thing that they can do. And what I'll typically do on the front end, and that's so people don't get the pie in the sky visions of, oh, my God, we're going to rank great in a month because this guy's doing SEO for us. I'll do a competitive analysis at the beginning and say, look, here's the deal. This site has this many links pointing in. This is what they're ranking well for. They've been there this long, or you know, they've got this many pages for these particular keyword phrases. And I'll tell them up front, this is a 900-pound gorilla. You're not going to move this site. or, you know, this site, I think we can take advantage with these particular keyword phrases. So that way, somebody doesn't come back in 3 to 6 months and say, well, you know, I'm not ranking number one for the broad term real estate. Well, there's 900-pound gorillas all over the place for just real estate. Now, for your locale, we can probably do some stuff, and there may even be some 900-pound gorillas for each locale. Like, I would imagine, just shooting from the cuff, Los Angeles is probably going to have a 900-pound gorilla, New York, some of the bigger cities. They may not, but those are just some examples. Like CNN, you mentioned them. That's going to be a 900-pound gorilla. You're not going to move CNN. If CNN ranks number one for, like, the movie Twilight, you're not going to outrank CNN more than likely, unless you're dedicated to doing this for years. So,
well, and that's the – sorry to jump in, but that's a key point, because another thing I want to warn people about is that, as with most SEO tools, and I'm not going to call this a trick because it's legitimate. I'm going to call it a tool. As with most SEO tools, they can be abused. Now,
mm-hmm.
don't forget, Google tracks your history. Google knows what you're doing when. And if you go from 5 pages related to a keyword to 2 days later, you got 500 pages because you've hired 50 different copywriters and they're just
right.
churning out content. That's not natural. That's a red flag to Google. Hey, something's up here. This is not something that they can sustain and that they can keep up. So even if you identify, even if it's something ridiculous, like they've got 100,000 pages, which is, you know, that is excessive, but let's just make this excessive. They've got 100,000 and you've got 2. You might say, well, I might as well throw in the towel because how long is it going to take me to get 100,000 pages? Well, fine, that's true, but remember that's not the only factor. There are other factors, and so you still want to try. You just want to keep in mind that you're not going to realistically, you're not going to say, okay, their number is X, and by 5 p.m. tomorrow, I'm going to have Y, which is going to be 10% more than them. That's just not realistic, and that's going to end up hurting you. So use the tool, get the information, create a plan to work towards it, but realize that it's going to take time, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Right. And I think something else that you hear the term neighborhoods thrown around a lot. It's kind of like when you go look at a nice neighborhood and you look at the houses on the outskirts of the subdivision or whatever, and then you step into the estate section, and the estate section is 50% more expensive than the regular houses. Well, it's not to say you can't live in the same neighborhood or the same subdivision. You just may not be able to live in the estate section just yet. You're going to have to work your way up to that, and that's an analogy that I give to some people sometimes, because if I say 900-pound gorilla, yeah, they understand that, but when I put it in more terms like the estate section versus just living in the subdivision, that makes a little more sense to some people. So there's a couple analogies you can use for evaluating your competition and what is the likelihood that you can outrank them. Because if you go into it blindfolded and think, well, I just want to rank number one for real estate on the broad level because that's going to get me 1 million visitors and the cash register is definitely going to ring for that, well, you're setting yourself up for failure, and that's not a good endeavor either. You're going to waste a lot of cycles, a lot of money, a lot of resources to get up to the front page for something that may not even produce money for you. All right, so you mentioned before over-optimized, so I think this question is very relevant. Scott from Fresno says, search engines seem to take measures to ensure no one cheats by making their page, quote-unquote, too optimized. Are search engines anti-SEO?
So if you've ever been to an SEO conference or you've ever read any interviews from SEO people, you know, their party line, their main thing that they're going to say, and I don't mean to imply that they don't mean it, they do mean it, is don't optimize for us. Optimize
right.
your site for your site visitors. And just by nature and default, if you're providing good content about your topic, well, then that should give you keyword-rich content. If you're providing good content that's useful, people should want to link to you, so that should give you good links. So you shouldn't have to manipulate to satisfy us. They believe that. And that's great that they believe that. And to a certain extent, it's true. But the way I like to explain it is that sort of perfect world thinking, I think you need a little bit of help along the way. So to be clear, I agree. We should definitely build a site for site visitors. We should design a site, write content for conversion. Shouldn't be about the search engines. But that's not to say that there's not a place for search engine optimization, because there is. And so do a lot of the search engines themselves have problems with SEO firms? Yeah, they do, especially because there are the bad ones out there that are giving people a bad name. But if you keep in mind, if you listen to our first interview, we used the terms evergreen, which is something that's not, it's an optimization strategy that's not trendy, that's not likely to get into trouble. It's based on natural, evergreen, always good things like adding informative content that happens to use your keywords. So I think as long as you're playing in the evergreen fields, the search engines are really not going to have a problem with you. They've made their peace with the fact that we exist and that with the fact that we're helping people. And as long as we're sort of respecting the ultimate goal that they're trying to accomplish, which is to deliver really, truly relevant results and not just sort of fluffed up, over-optimized results, then I think it's okay. And I know I'm rambling. I want to give you a chance to jump in and share, but I just want to give one more analogy, because I've heard this before. Well, the search engines don't like you, and not me personally, but the search engines don't like SEO firms. So why would I want to hire you? Why would I want to pay somebody to do something that the search engines aren't going to like? And I actually love that question. I don't think it's a stupid question. I think it's a valid question. And I want to give this analogy. If you were to rent some retail space in a mall, would you so you've got this space in the mall, and you've got typically you've got a little storefront where there's like a window display, and then people can come in, and there's the mall, and then you've usually got your name up above the door. That is how people know you exist. People walk into the mall, there's foot traffic passing by, they see your window display, they see your sign, they're compelled and they want to go in. Either that or they just know your brand and they know you want to go in. When you're on the internet, you don't have that same luxury of tapping into that foot traffic. So really what the foot traffic becomes is people that are searching on the internet, and your window display and your name above your door is really your listing in the search engine. And you're not going to tap into that so-called foot traffic, those people that are walking by looking for what you have to offer, unless you optimize your site. So optimization is important. It's, you know, that whole if you build it, they will come. It's a myth. It's not good enough to just get a site up there. You need to do a little bit more to it. And that's why SEO firms are still needed in spite of the search engines not always being crazy about them. And then it just comes down to, are you picking the right firm? Are you picking one that understands the boundaries and understands what over-optimization is versus just good optimization?
Mm-hmm. And I think the excellent points again. And to add to that, what I tell people is if you are practicing the things that are within their guidelines and you're following their rules, I don't believe they're anti-SEO because, like you said, they want to produce the most relevant result to a user's, which is a search engine's customers, the people that are doing the searches. They want to produce the most relevant result. Now, are there things that you can do to manipulate those results? Sure. But the people who go overboard and stray away from abiding by the rules, so to speak, they get caught. So it's like anything else. Yeah, there's going to be people that abuse it. They're going to gain an advantage early on, but that advantage is not going to be sustainable. So I really don't believe that search engines hate search engine optimization firms, the good ones, the white hat ones, the ones that are trying to help companies, like you say, get that sign above the door so people know, hey, that's what this is all about. I either want to go there or I don't. So to say search engines hate ethical SEO firms, I think is a little bit strong. Yeah, they don't like the black hat and the scheme artist. They don't like those particular type of firms. And there are some ethical firms, and I can use my own firm for example. There are some things that we do that are, if you really, really boil them down, they are not necessarily 100% white hat, and they're not 100% black hat. They are a little bit gray, and that's by producing, but it's marketing. It's producing videos, it's producing documents and things of that nature that can get you into the front page a lot quicker. But again, that's kind of like you said with the window analogy, Jennifer, is get you that visibility to where people know your store exists as you build the back-end stuff and get the content built on your site, because they don't want to see you go from, you know, 2 pages today on the movie Twilight to 2,000 pages tomorrow on the movie Twilight, because they know that they're probably out to try to trick us here, and we'll just put this over onto the side until we analyze whether this content's legitimate. So I tell people up front, because when I tell them, hey, we'll produce some videos, that could probably get you some quick exposure. We'll also do some podcasts, things of that nature, that we can leverage these larger sharing sites to get you the short-term exposure. And the immediate question is, well, isn't that black hat? No, but in the purest sense of SEO, it's probably not what they intended. You know, hey, oh, okay, well, they're just doing this so they can get a front page listing. If that video is relevant, if that podcast is relevant, then no, it's not necessarily black hat, but that's one of those things I wanted to toss out there. I don't know how you feel about some of that stuff, but a lot of times people will say, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, against the terms of service. No, if the content is relevant, then it's not, but there are people who take this, just like anything else, and abuse the hell out of it, so anyway.
Yeah, and I think the question that you can almost always ask yourself is, does this provide value to my site visitor? If it's a video, even if you know your intention behind adding the video is to quickly drive some traffic and increase some exposure, if it's a valuable video that provides information and value to your site visitor, then, as he just said, that is a marketing strategy. That is something that you can justify. If you had a page that says, let's say you sell dog collars, and you had a page that says, I have pretty dog collars, I have pink dog collars, and I have purple dog collars, and you must love dog collars because you're on my page about dog collars, and dog collars are fabulous. We're all fans of dog collars. Well, that's keyword stuffed, and that's written for the search engines, and that provides no value for the site visitor whatsoever. So that's something that you're probably going to say, okay, I'm overdoing it. So if you look at any one of your strategies and say, can I justify this to myself first, and then second of all to Google, were they to call you on it, could I justify why this is something that has value to my site visitors and why this is not done just for the search engines but done as an enhancement to my site? If you can justify it, then you're good to go.
Right, and I think your analogy of a dog collar is great, because if you had a video, for instance, that said, you know, all sorts, all shapes, all sizes, all colors, and you showed like a pink one, a red one, a blue one, a green one, and all that, and you showed dogs wearing these collars and things of that nature, that might provide value to someone because they can actually see the dog collar. But like you say, if it's just one of those things, hey, buy my dog collar, it's great, my dog collar, and you just keep saying the same thing over and over, and the video's the same thing, to where they're not showing, the video doesn't provide any value, well then, yeah, you're stepping all over the line. You're not even, you've crossed it a long time ago if you know that you're just putting out junk, because search engines don't want to produce or send people to look at junk. So I think that's a good point to make and supports what I was saying before. But people get caught up in that when they hear, you know, oh, okay, I can get some quick visibility. Isn't that black hat? Don't they frown upon that? Well, it depends on how you use it. I guess that's the bottom line. So
yeah, definitely.
But we've...
I just wanted to say one more thing on that, my analogy. You know, if you say to somebody, if you opened a store in the mall, would you put newspaper or brown paper or garbage bag all over the window and not put a name up on top of the store? And people look at you like you're on drugs. They're like, why would I do that? I got to have a beautiful window display. People even hire people to have window displays and pay lots of money to these sign makers to have a beautiful sign. They would think you're absolutely, like I said, just really on drugs if you were to suggest they wouldn't do that. Yet people think it's okay to put up a website and not promote it, not try to get it listed in the search engines. And it really is the same thing. And so I just want people to think about that and understand that yes, there are bad SEO companies out there, but that doesn't mean that SEO is bad. And for the people that say bad companies equals whole industry is bad. Frankly, their business is being hurt by that misperception.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I've got two analogies I can share with you along with your putting up the garbage bags, and they're tangents, but I'll share them anyway. The first one is simple. You wouldn't put a billboard up in the desert. And that's the same thing you're doing if you have a website and you do nothing to get people to find it. And that's the simplest analogy I can give. The second one is, we actually had a restaurant open around the corner from my house, or I think it's getting ready to open, and they paid the money for the nice sign. It's a nice, pretty blue sign, and it used to be a buffet place. Well, this is going to be another buffet place, but they've got these blinds up on the window that look kind of like garbage bags, but they're actual blinds, and they keep them closed all the time, so it's... Every time I drive by, I'm like, that place just looks shady because I can't see in. I don't know, is there anything really going on in there? Do they really serve food, or is this, you know, what are they hiding? I mean, I'd like to see something in there, and that's kind of the same analogy you're giving with the putting something up in the window of a store. Same thing with the website. I mean, if it looks sketchy, well, you got to think of how your customer's going to think, and same thing with your website. If your website looks sketchy, or you got it there through sketchy practices, your customer is going to pick up on that. And that is ultimately who you are designing your website or your store for, is for your customers to feel comfortable and feel like you're a reputable outfit and that they should feel comfortable doing business with you. I don't know if I'll ever go to this little food place, but for now, I've got my guard up and I'm thinking sketchy, so... Not eager to go to the place right now. All right, so...
Definitely. Now, I wanted... This sort of transitioned me into, in my mind, another topic. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to throw something out there.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
So I know we had talked about SEO myths, and the example that you just gave made me think of an SEO myth, and it's been something that I don't know if you've experienced, but I'm hearing more of it lately, and I'm actually kind of surprised because I thought it would diminish... And that is that local search engine optimization is not needed. And I was actually really, really surprised to hear that. I've had a lot of people say that to me and say, well, you know, I'm on a prominent street corner, so first of all, anyone that's in my neighborhood is going to see me and they're going to come in. And second of all, you know, I'm just so naturally relevant to the search engines for, you know, say, dog collars in Huntington Beach, that I don't need to optimize for that. And I say, okay, wait a minute, let's just back up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can give so many examples. A new arts and crafts studio, do-it-yourself arts and crafts studio, opened up just down the street from me. I give them a little plug. They're in Sunset Beach, California. And I thought it looked really cool, but I didn't want to go in until I knew what it was. So I went and tried to Google them by their name because I saw their name when I went by. They didn't have a phone number published or anything out on their sign. Couldn't find them. Couldn't find them anywhere. I eventually ended up finding somebody had arranged a meetup there, and so I found them in the search engines indirectly through Meetup. But I thought, you know, I potentially would have dropped it. I wouldn't have gone in there if I hadn't found more information. Turns out I got the phone number from the Meetup, called, asked the questions, and found out it's a great place. It was exactly what I was looking for. But they're literally, you know, 5-minute walk from my house. So, but I wouldn't have made that 5-minute walk if I didn't do the research and find out what I wanted to know beforehand. So to say I'm on a prominent street corner, if people know I'm here, they're going to come in if they want to come in, is not valid. And second of all, to say that you're relevant, naturally relevant, so you're just going to come up. You know, that's a lot of sites are naturally relevant and feel like they should come up in the top of the search engines, but they don't. You need some help. You need to get listed on the map sites. You need to get on Google Maps. You need to get on Bing and Yahoo. You need to let them, some of the local directories. You need to let people know that you're out there. And it's just, I don't know how else to say it other than it's just completely and totally wrong to think that it's unimportant.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up because I did hear that from a prospective client not too long ago, and we were talking about doing some SEO stuff, and he asked me straight out. He said, well, what do you think about, you know, doing the whole local thing? And I said, you have to do that. That's where you need to start, because if nothing else, he's like, well, if you're doing all this other stuff, then you don't need to do that. I said, well, why would you say that? And he said, well, because they'll naturally pick it up. Not necessarily. I mean, if you don't tell them that I'm located on this prominent street corner, how do they know? If you don't have anything on your site to tell them, if they even have crawled your site, that, hey, I'm on this prominent street corner, how are they going to know? I mean, that's, if not, it can't hurt you. And that's, I can't believe that that myth is floating around out there, because I agree with you, Jennifer. That's totally bogus. And why wouldn't you? It's kind of like when, if you want your phone number listed in the white pages, well, you got to give them permission to do that. Kind of the same thing with the whole local search. And to tie into that, I've got two empirical evidence type stories to share. That we've had a Chinese restaurant around the corner, and then there was a coffee house. And I was actually going to do a podcast earlier this week, which that reminds me I need to do that. But it was a coffee house that had a Spanish name. Well, for starters, I don't know Spanish, so it didn't register with me, oh, naturally, coffee house. I thought it was just a little bakery. I had no idea it was a coffee house. The other one was a Chinese restaurant that served really good food. And I went in there one night, and there were two other couples in there eating. And I asked the owner, I said, well, what do you do to market your business? Oh, it's all word of mouth. And plus, people drive by all the time, and they'll see us. Well, it was maybe a month later, they went out of business. And I remember when the guy said that, I kind of snickered, and he kind of looked at me cross-eyed a little bit, and I said, have you thought about doing anything with the Internet? Oh, well, people don't eat food that surf the Internet. I'm like, they don't eat food, huh? And he said, well, I mean, they're not searching for restaurants unless they, you know, live around here, and those are the people that are going to drive by. And I said, okay, so to have that whole mindset that, oh, people are just naturally going to find me because they're going to drive by, are they? And if they do, who's to say they're necessarily going to come in? And just like you pointed out, Jennifer, you had that place that was 5 minutes from your house. Well, you weren't going to go in until you learned more about it, and that's the same way with this new restaurant that's going in around the corner. I'm going to do some research on it before I go in because it looks sketchy. And the same thing with this Chinese restaurant that went out of business. Couldn't find anything on the Internet on it. Same thing with the coffee house. Didn't even know it was a coffee house until the week it went out of business, because I actually drove up to the curb, got out, looked at in the window. They were closed, so it wasn't like I was looking at people through the window. I didn't want them to freak out or anything. But the place was closed, and I saw that it was a coffee house. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, I made a point to want to go there the next day. They were out of business. So you've got a window of opportunity that you need to seize and take advantage of. And if it can't hurt you, so why wouldn't you do it? It's just, I can't believe people get in their own ways with that type of stuff and their own thinking of, oh, well, people are, they're going to find us. Think of how people find new businesses today. I think actually it was a stat that I read on your site, Jennifer, was it 8 out of 10 Internet users look on search engines to find info on products and services they want to buy.
And, you know, 80%. That's crazy. It's a huge number. And the other thing is, and I hate to be one to bring up the economy, but with the bad economy, those numbers are growing because people are looking for deals and they're researching, and they're very careful about where they spend their money, so they're going to spend it in the best place that's going to get them the best deal. People are comparison shopping online more than ever before, and that includes comparison shopping even when they intend to go into a local store. They might not even intend to purchase online, but they just want to find out what you have to offer, and then come walk into your store. So that's really important. The other thing I think what perpetuates this myth is people assume that everybody acts the same as them. If they wouldn't Google a restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever, they can't imagine that someone else would. But, I mean, look at, why do Chowhound and Yelp and all of those other sites exist? People live for sharing that information and looking up that information. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband won't go to a new restaurant unless he Googles it and sees what comes up. So,
right.
You know,
I won't stay at a hotel unless I can see what other people have said that have been to that hotel.
Exactly, yeah.
Go ahead. Right, yeah.
It's too risky. You're paying good money to go on a vacation that is, you know, probably desperately needed, and you want to make sure that it's going to be good. So, yeah, it's just you got to remember to not look at it and judge it the way you would do things, because I personally also don't Google very many restaurants. But I know that there are people like me and that there are people that are not like me, and you got to sort of optimize to tap into everybody. Otherwise, you're limiting yourself. Word of mouth is great. If you've got word of mouth, that's fabulous. But you want to capitalize on top of that and get even more. Because then, if you're so good that people are going to talk about you, get more people in through the internet and get more people talking, and then the word of mouth grows, and it all kind of snowballs and gets bigger.
Right. And that's, I think, the thing you just said is people think that other people think like them as opposed to the opposite of them. And I get in my own way with that sometimes, is that I assume people understand the basics of SEO when I start out on stuff and when I start to talk to people. And give an example that's very recent is I started talking to a guy I went to high school with that owns a business, very successful business, and I started saying, you know, well, you can change the title tag to this and that. And I could tell immediately his face gloss, he's like, title tag? What the hell is that? I was like, oh, you know, the thing that shows up in the top blue bar. And he's like, top blue bar? And I'm like, yeah, you know, on your browser. And, I mean, he even opened up a browser and was like, okay, I still don't see this title tag thing you're talking about. So I had to go over and show him, you know, here's the title tag. Very smart guy. Super smart. Has a very successful business. But I got in my own way of thinking, oh, well, yeah, everybody knows what the title tag is. No, they don't. And it's the same thing with when you run a business. You assume that everybody knows, oh, yeah, everybody's driving by, so they're eventually going to come in here because they see my sign out front. No, they may not. They may not even know, just like in the case of the coffee house. I don't know whether it was good or bad because I never got to try it, but the name didn't tell me what they did. I was left to assume, and I assumed it was a bakery until I did my own little research the one night late when it was closed. Oh, it's a coffee house. I mean, you can't assume that people are just naturally going to think the way you think, because that's not the way they operate. We're all different, and we've all got our own preferences and our modalities. I don't want to get too psychological or anything like that, but some people like to see videos. Some people want to listen to somebody review a place or talk about it. Other people want to read reviews. Other people are like you, Jennifer. They may want to research a company before they decide to even walk into the store. So if you don't give them that opportunity, that's a missed opportunity that you could have made some money. So
definitely.
I'm glad you brought up the local search, because I hadn't even thought of that, but that is something that I heard recently, and I'm like, wow. I didn't know that this was even circulating as widespread as it is, but it is, and it's obvious that people that are doing some research into SEO are getting some misinformation on that. And that's, I hope we can help clear that up.
The other thing I wanted to point out is I tend to be a little bit skeptical in nature, so I can really relate to other people that are skeptical in nature, and I can hear the wheels turning in some people's brains going, yeah, that's great. Listen to Jen and Roger, the SEO people that want us to hire them, talking about how important SEO is. And so let me just say up front, I have no illusions that any of you listening to this are going to hire me. If you're interested in talking to either me or Roger, you know, I think we're both excited and would love to, but I'm assuming that people listening to this are interested in doing their own SEO, which is
right.
Why they're interested in learning. So I'm truly saying this to sort of open your eyes to things that you think about and things that you should do. And I'm not saying this with a sales pitch or an ulterior motive in the back of my mind. So I just wanted to address that, just because if it is churning through your brain, it could cause you to sort of not listen to some of what we're saying. And
right.
I think
and
that would be a shame.
I think that's a great point to bring up, too, because we've already given enough on just this session today that really could guide people in the right direction, whether they hire us or not. So that's, I hope that you get some value out of what we're talking about, whether, like you say, Jennifer, whether you're even thinking about hiring, that's not the reason we're doing this. It's to share some quality information and dispel some myths, which I've got another one that I think we could talk about. Pay-per-click ads will help or hurt my rankings.
I love that, because if only it were that easy, you know. And I don't mean to mock, because I understand the myth. You know, back when I was starting out, I even believed some of the myths before I was educated. So, you know, I just laugh, because I just wish. I just wish it were the case. Pay-per-click helps a business because it's a way of purchasing targeted traffic and controlling your spending. But that's the extent. And when I say controlling your spending, I mean you're in control. You decide how much you're willing to pay. Per click, per day, you know, it's all within your control, and you just get whatever you get based on what you're willing to pay. So it helps from that perspective. It does not help from organic. Google does not say, hey, look at this. Roger's spending $300 a day, and Jen's only spending $200. I'm going to just throw him a little kickback, throw him a little favor, and I'm going to put him number two on Google, and I'm going to show Jen and stick her on page three. It just doesn't work that way. It can't.
Right.
They're a public company. They have to answer to people. Their goal is to deliver relevant results. If they started mixing up their results with favoritism, although some argue that there is a bit of that going on, but not through pay-per-click, you know, it just wouldn't have the same impact, the same results, and it would hurt them. So, you know, no, it's not going on. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't help you. Other than it's a service that in and of itself can help you, and if it makes sense for your business, you should do it. But you should never expect any side perks.
Very well said. I don't have a whole lot to add to that, but I've got another one that ties into that, and that is, well, I rank very highly for my organic term, so my pay-per-click costs are going to come down. And that's another one I laugh at, because you can have a perfectly fine optimized site for used dog collars, so let's stick with that, for dog collars. And maybe it is for rhinestone dog collars. And you go and place an ad for rhinestone dog collars, but Google goes and determines that the quality score of your ad in alignment with your site is not as ideal as they would like, so they slap the ad. So if you're not familiar with the Google slap, that is more or less you pay for your pay-per-click ad, and let's say you're paying 50 cents. Per click today. Google goes out and looks at your site and then determines how relevant is your site to the ad that you are running based on the keywords and what your ad actually says. And if they determine that your quality score, which is a Google algorithm thing again, doesn't match up very well with the site that, or the page that you're guiding people to, they slap your ad and you end up paying sometimes 10 times as much for the same click. That's known as the Google slap. You don't want the Google slap. That's a bad thing, because you can go from 50 cents in a day to paying $5 a click or $10 a click. And when you have that, it can be a very bad, bad day, because you're going to get less traffic and you're going to pay a lot more for whatever traffic you do get, even if your ad does get shown. And just because your site ranks well for rhinestone dog collar and your ad is for a rhinestone dog collar, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to get the slap if you craft a crappy pay-per-click ad. And that's another myth that I've heard that I'm like, no, I don't think that is necessarily the case. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, people hear that doing organic can decrease your pay-per-click cost, and in a different way it can. It can, in that if you get good enough organic rankings to get enough traffic, you may decide to turn your pay-per-click off. Some people may, some people may not. I've had clients that have different opinions, and I'm not advising either way. But I'm wondering if people heard that and mistook it to be the way that you're saying, which is it'll actually lower their cost per click. So I'm wondering if that's how that one started, and if some people just got confused. So, yes, it's possible to phase out pay-per-click if you decide that makes more sense once you're ranking well organically, but otherwise I think you covered it beautifully, and I'm glad that came up.
I shared that in a lot more professional way on here than I did when I first heard it, because I think I literally bust out laughing when I first heard it, and I'm sure that the client that said it is probably like, gee, Roger's just a I can't believe he laughed in my face about that, but it cracked me up. I mean, I guess you have to be in this industry to really get a kick out of that, but it took me a little bit to compose myself again. I'm like, that's good. Where'd you hear that? And he's like, oh, I read that on an article somewhere. And I'm like, that's all wet. That's not the way it works. But it was quite humorous to me there. I had another one. Oh, this is one that's very old, but I still get clients say this from time to time, and that is you should still submit your URL to search engines. And I'll let you go ahead and talk about that first, and then if I have something to add, I'll jump in on that.
Okay, so what I would say is, yes, you should, if you're into wasting your time. and otherwise, no, you shouldn't. You just don't need to do that anymore. Not only do you not need to do it, the search engines don't like it. It clutters their system. It just makes unnecessary work. I actually didn't even know that there was still a form out there that you could submit. Through doing an XML sitemap, verifying a site in Google Webmaster Tools, through having other people linking to you, there are all kinds of ways that Google's going to find you, and they would much rather find you those ways than the old-fashioned go to that little form and type in your URL and click submit. I mean, I've even heard that people think that they don't have to do that just for their home page, but that they have to do it for every page of the site. And so they're paying somebody, some high school kid, to sit there and copy and paste each URL and click submit. And I think, you know what?
Oh, boy.
If I were less ethical, man, I could be making some money off of it. You know, because people are still paying for these submission services. And, you know, again, I don't mean to mock, because I understand that people don't have the knowledge, the same knowledge necessarily that we have. But, you know, this is one that I can tell you right now. If you're paying somebody, whether it's an official service or just a neighborhood kid who you've hired to submit, stop. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. You're not getting anything for it. That's all I want to say about that.
Right. And I'll share in follow-up to that, because I totally agree. If you really want to get your site found by the search engines, let's say you have a brand new site, one of the easiest ways you can do this is to simply go to a very popular blog and comment on that blog and have the link area where it says your website URL. Put that in there. Put your name up there. Submit a relevant comment. Don't just go say, hey, really nice site, and then think that's going to get you a comment on there. That's the easiest way to do it, or find something that is getting indexed on a regular basis, and usually blogs get indexed very quickly. And if you find one for your industry that is very relevant and has a lot of traffic going to it and a lot of comment and a lot of interaction going on, then you can leverage that for your own good to get discovered that way. Plus, if you're looking at industry blogs and relevant blogs, you can educate yourself along the way, and that's never a bad thing. So get people to read blogs, something I think is a worthwhile endeavor.
Definitely. Yeah, I just have a really quick, funny side story on that. I had a client who just had gotten a blog going, and they were starting to get some traffic, and they said to me, you know what, this blog is really, really good for my ego, because people are putting all kinds of comments. I think you're an expert. I like this article. This is a very good blog post. And she was saying, I'm just so touched that people take the time to share this praise. And I thought, aw, she doesn't know that they're just trying to get their links. it is pretty funny. But I agree with that approach. We recommend that approach to clients. I just always hesitate to say that publicly without the disclaimer that you've already given, which is don't do comment spam. Make the comment count. Make it be valid and make it add to the conversation or what's going on the blog. Otherwise, if you don't, what happens is you're taking a legitimate strategy for all of us and you're killing it. Because what's going to happen is blog owners are going to stop letting people comment, or they're going to put no follow on the comments, and then we're going to start losing the benefit. So if not for your sake, then for the rest of our sake, let's make those intelligent, useful comments.
Yeah, it's got to be relevant, and I always tell people that, because that's twofold. Not only are you doing what you just said, Jennifer, and that's ruin it for everybody else, or the opportunity for everybody else, but also – this may be your first exposure to somebody who is legitimately interested in your industry, your market, your products, your services. And if they see a bunch of comments, hey, nice site, oh, you're very intelligent, just that whole flattery stuff, thinking that's going to get the comment under the blog owner's radar, that's not going to propel them to click on your link and go look at your site. So make it count in that if you post a relevant comment that is thoughtful, contributes to the conversation, and inspires, because people are naturally curious. So if it inspires them to dig a little deeper on you, then guess what? You might actually land a prospect or a new customer or a new connection within your industry, especially if you are viewed upon as somebody that's, hey, this person is a thought leader within the industry, or, oh, I really like what they had to say. That's exactly the way I feel. I want to connect further with this person. And that's, you know, I've met a lot of different partners, a lot of potential customers, just through blog commenting, to where it's I agree with somebody's post, or maybe I disagree, and I click on the link, I do a little digging, I think, hey, I want to talk to this person. So if you think that just going out there and doing the whole blog spam thing and, oh, I'll just go say, really nice site, glad I found it, I'm going to bookmark it, which see those all the time, which spam, spam, spam. But you want to make your comment count so that way you make a good impression, not only on the blog owner, but the other people reading the blog.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we have chewed up yet another hour with our SEO talk, and I think it's time to close it down because I know I've got other stuff to do, and I know you've got other stuff to do as well, Jennifer. So I want to thank you again for sitting down and chatting with me for an hour and sharing some really good information. And like you said earlier, this isn't a podcast or an interview or a teleseminar to try to sell people on anything. We're just sharing some SEO information in hopes that if you get nothing else out of it, you get steered in the right direction if you're on the wrong path. So,
definitely. Now, you and I haven't had a chance to chat about what I'm about to throw out there, so forgive me, but I'm just
going
to, knowing you, take my chances and throw it out there anyway. We've now spent a couple hours sharing our thoughts and our knowledge with people, and I think we have a whole lot more to talk about, a whole lot more to share. But what I'd love to know is, are people really finding this helpful? And I know we've been answering specific questions, but what other questions do people have? And I would say I'd be up for doing this, whether we do it weekly, biweekly, whatever we decide works with our schedule, as long as we're hearing from people and hearing new questions and keeping the content fresh to what's on people's mind. So I'd love to invite people to shoot us an email and let us know what are their questions and what other topics do they want us to cover. And as long as the questions and requests keep coming in, I'd love for us to keep talking.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I'm totally for that. And I think that if it hasn't come out in these two sessions, I don't know if you take offenses, Jennifer, but we're kind of SEO nerds on this stuff, or geeks, and this, we're passionate about it. It pumps our gas, so to speak. So this is fun to us, believe it or not. And at least I know I've had a lot of fun doing these. And I think I don't want to speak for you, but
no, you can speak for me. It's true.
Okay, it's been a lot of fun.
And I was going to say, you said you don't know if I would take offense. Actually, that's not something I take offense to. That's my little badge of honor. I love that I'm an SEO geek.
Yeah, and it's you know, I had somebody say the other day, a guy that was just chatting with casually, and he asked what I did, and I told him, and he's like, oh, so you're like one of those geeky types. And at first I kind of bristled at it. I said, no. I said, I'm, you know, a normal guy who happens to, he goes, it's okay. He goes, it's totally fine. He goes, I get it. He goes, that's something you're passionate about, and, you know, you could be a normal guy regularly, but you have your geeky side, so I'll embrace it just as you have.
Great. So,
but I'll share my email address, and that's roger@se, that's SierraEchoNinja.com, and I hope people will email me and Jennifer, tell them how they can get a hold of you and learn more about you.
So you can email me at Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at ecombuffet.com, E-C-O-M-B-U-F-F-E-T.com. And Roger's been kind enough to let me share this information with my readers and followers in my list. So if you're coming from my list, you know, feel free to email me questions. Together, Roger and I will compile the questions and topic suggestions, and we'll be able to put together more calls for you. We're happy to spend the time. We just want to make sure we're targeting the topics that are freshest and hottest in your minds right now. So we'd really love you to submit questions, comments, feedback, and we'll get the next thing scheduled. If we're getting enough of questions and stuff coming in, then we'll just sort of post a schedule in advance and let you guys know when you can expect the next session to happen. Maybe one day we'll get ambitious and we'll open it up and actually do a live teleconference with people live on the line with us.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, see, so
or
lots of possibilities.
Do a blog talk radio thing or something like that to where we can have a live interaction, because I think between the two of us, we can come up with content that interests us all day long, but like you say, we don't know if that's necessarily interesting to other people. And yeah, we've got questions that have been submitted by other people, but we can talk about myths and we can talk about strategies and things like that till the cows come home. But if it's boring to people, you know, we don't want to do that.
Exactly. So take the time. It only takes a couple minutes. Shoot us an email. Let us know your questions and thoughts, and we'll be back again soon.
All right. Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you again, and enjoy another vacation if you get another Cancun trip or, you know, wherever you get to go. It seems that you're getting to take the vacations that I would love to. So, and you live
in
California.
That's right. I'll show you my pictures, and you'll feel like you were there.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, until the next time, I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks.